So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
Is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
Cindy Johnston, would you come up, please? And Cindy, if you have not, if you didn't see her on Wednesday night, you guys shared on Wednesday night, did you?
2 weeks ago.
So if you didn't see her then and you didn't know who she is, maybe you've never met her before, but I really want you all to have an opportunity to know Cindy.
Thank you, Joy. So Lynn, you've been here since you were one. Well, it's awesome to see you guys. Many faces I don't know, but many I do know. So it's been awesome. We've been here since December 27th on furlough. We serve over in Northern Ireland. We've been there almost 4.5 years. And I say that, and I can't believe that number comes out of my mouth. It's gone by so quick. The Lord is doing it's very hard ground there, spiritually. You know, practically, it's beautiful, and it's green, and it's lush, and lots of sheep and cows, and lots of green. That's one thing driving around here, it's all concrete, and I miss the green. Definitely miss that green and the moisture. It's so dry here. But I was born and raised here, so I can't believe how quickly you acclimate. The thing that is the hardest in Northern Ireland and the UK and probably most of Europe is there's a lot of history of religion, and people think they're okay because they go to church, because they, you know, 10 generations back, they all went to the same church, literally the same church, sat probably in the same pew, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and so they go to church on Sunday for an hour, and they've done their duty, and that makes them okay. They don't know Jesus. They don't understand what a personal relationship with Christ is, and my husband, who's back there, and I have come along there to serve them, and they don't understand servers. They, you know, the minister and the elders do everything. If I, as a lay person, come and say, "Can I pray for you?" It's like, "Oh, you can pray for me," because they think that's the job of the elders. That's why it's so slow, because one, they have to get to know you, because they have to learn to trust you. And that's a big thing. If you know the history of Northern Ireland, you know the troubles between the Protestants and the Catholics, and there's just a lot of history, and so there's a lot of suspicion, and people think everybody has an ulterior motive. Why would you come and serve me? You don't know me. Why would you leave California to come here? You don't know me. How can you love me? You don't know me. So it's just, that's why it's a very slow-going process, but I wouldn't change a thing. I know we're right where God has us, and we covet your prayers above all else. Pray for the hearts to be softened, that hard, dried-up, fallow ground to be broken, and people to come to know the Lord in a personal way. They just don't get me. You that know me, I'm different. And one of the greatest things I was ever told by Joy, when the Lord called Rick to pastor, and me, that makes me a pastor's wife, and I'm like, I like that part, but not me. That means I have to be really good. Well, anyway, that's another discussion. But Joy just says, be you. Be yourself. God's called you as you. And they don't get that, because the pastor's wife is held on a pedestal, and yeah, I don't have a pedestal, and they recognize that pretty quickly, that I don't have that, you know, and so it's awesome what the Lord's doing. So above all else, your prayers. We really covet your prayers. So thank you. And we'll see you in hopefully 2 years, so Lord willing. Don't cry. Stop it. So, but thank you so much, and thank you for your prayers. Okay? I did it. I did good. I did short.
Good. And Lord, we just pray for Cindy and Rick right now. Lord, we lift them before your throne. We pray, Father, that you would continue to do a work in their lives as mm-hmm. they work in other people's lives. Yes. Lord, as other people see you at work in them, they know that it's okay to trust them and to change their lives in the same way that Rick and Cindy changed theirs. Lord, that they love you with all of their heart. Lord, I am so privileged, Lord, to be able to pray for this precious couple, Lord, who have given their lives wholly and completely over to you. And it is it's our privilege to pray for them and to support them in any way that we can. Lord, it's not always money that's needed, although that's always helpful. It's the prayer. It's the commitment to you in prayer for them, Lord. And we do pray, Lord, that you would break up the fallow ground
Jesus.
Lord, that you would break down the walls, the barriers, Lord, that keep that relationship with you from happening. And, Lord, I know that if anybody can get it through, Rick and Cindy can get it through them by you, Lord, because you're going to show them exactly how to do it. And so, Lord, I thank you for their willingness to go. I thank you for their tenaciousness. Lord, to be there and to remain there, even though it's hard. Life is hard, and it might not get easier, and it probably won't get easier. But, Lord, I thank you for this couple, and we pray, Lord, that you would continue to go with them and care for them, provide for them according to your riches and glory, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Love you. Love you. Aww. Yay. Thank you. They've got a real tight schedule. They're going to record for the radio, and then they've got some other things to do, and they go back tomorrow. So we will miss them, and I won't talk any more about that. So how many of you did lesson one over this week? Yeah. So all of you guys were not listening when I said... last week was not the introduction, but this week would be the introduction. So you are prepared for next week. And so here's what you're going to do with that lesson that you've already worked on. You're going to go over it this week and do it just like it was your regular homework. Go over it, see what else God's going to add to that lesson. So you've got 2 weeks to work on that lesson. Today we're going to be covering the introduction to the books of whatever it is that we're studying, 1st and 2nd Peter. And so, last week was that introduction to him. And thank you, Lord. I pray, God, for your presence with us. I pray, God, that you would just direct the words, Lord. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes and our ears open to what you are saying today. I thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. I thank you, Lord, for the evidence of your Holy Spirit here. And, Lord, we just want to be aware of that, and we want to know you even as we are known, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we do pray for our country, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would deliver us from our evil ways, Lord, that you would forgive us for the things that we do and the things that we allow. Father, we pray that our leaders would come to know you as their own personal saviors, Lord, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of praying for our country. We thank you for the privilege that we have in living here at this particular time. Lord, what a privilege it is to serve you in these days. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I already had in my notes that I would start out today with life is hard and it might not get easier. That's exactly, this song is by Amy Grant that Bethany sang. We believe in God and we all need Jesus. Is that true? Yes, we believe in God. We all need Jesus. Why? Because life is hard, and it might not get easier. How many of you know that it probably is not going to get easier? Today is probably the easiest day that we will have looking forward. You know, we can look back and say, oh, well, there were harder days back there. But it hasn't gotten any easier, has it? There are a lot of things that have gotten harder, and it might not get easier. But don't be afraid to know who you are. Don't be afraid to know who you are. Who are you? You are a child of the living God. You love Jesus. And so that brings you into the family. If you believe in God, if you say you need Jesus, he'll be where you are, and he will never leave you. Never, never, never will he leave you. Sing to me now words that are true. She's not saying sing to me. She's saying sing to the Lord. Words that are true so all in this place can know it. We believe in God, and we all need Jesus. We believe in God. We all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. That really is an outline of what is in 1 and 2 Peter. Life is hard, and it might not get easier. When we look into 1 Peter, we'll see that life was hard. And that's why he was writing to them, because life is hard. And it's not going to get any easier. So these letters, or these epistles, as they're called in 1 and 2 Peter, were written to the Christian Jews of the dispersion in Western Asia. And that's the place where Peter had spent most of his time ministering. And that's where he was at that place. They were not in their hometown. As we already know, Peter's particular ministry was to the circumcision, or that is to the Jews. And we have that in Galatians 2:8. His particular ministry was to the circumcision. The letters deal with the believer's relation to the kingdom of God. Their relation to the kingdom of God. It doesn't deal with the church like Paul did, with the church as the body of Christ, even though we are all a part of the body of Christ. If we believe in Jesus, we all are a part of the body of Christ, and that brings us into the kingdom of God. So it's all the same thing. It's the same thing, only different. Does that make any sense to you? Not to me either. Okay, so... But he is talking about our relation to the kingdom of God. Both letters are called wilderness epistles, wilderness letters. That is, they speak of the children of God as strangers and as pilgrims journeying through the wilderness of this world from the cross to glory. They journeyed through from the cross to glory. And with that, their hearts, they were strangers and they were pilgrims. Psalm 84, Bill carried that, spoke of that on Sunday, Pastor Bill. Psalm 84, my heart is set on pilgrimage. Ladies, is our heart set on pilgrimage? Do we know that this world is not our home? We are just passing through here. Let's do the best we can. This is not, you know, as I look at the plays, it's such a good illustration. This is not a dress rehearsal here. This is the real thing. This is life right now. And we go through life so many times. How many times have we looked at it and we've gone, if only I could go back and do that again. But I will never have an opportunity to do that again. By the way, I had a Jehovah's Witness come to my door. Did I tell you guys about this? Because I have to tell you about it, because God gave me the most wonderful thing to say to them when they came to my door. I told them, first off, you know, my husband is the pastor at Refuge Calvary Chapel, and so you're really not going to change anything about what I think, and I believe that you must be born again, and Jesus is the only way to eternal life. And they said, oh, we believe that. I said, yeah, but you know what? you don't believe that Jesus, we just don't believe that Jesus is God. And it's, how can you trust someone for eternal life if they're not God? How can they give you eternal life if they are not God? And it really was good because the younger man that was up closer who was in training and the woman that I was talking to, you know, he's standing there going, you know, because I kept saying it over and over again, because, and she said, well, you know, we do believe in Jesus. I said, yeah, but you don't believe in the same Jesus, because your Jesus cannot give me eternal life. Why would I put my trust in someone? Why would you put your trust in someone who can't really give you something that he promised? And she said, well, you know, we really don't want to argue about this point or anything. I said, well, you know, I would be remiss. You came to my door. And I would be remiss if I would allow you to walk away from my door not knowing the truth about who Jesus is. And it was so good. It was so good. And I just said, okay, bye. You know, it was just, yay! It was so good to be able to express that to him. But this world is not my home. This is not my place. I'm passing through, and I want to do the best I can for this time that I'm here. I don't get yesterday again. I don't get this morning again. So we need to live our lives for right now. Yes, look to the future. Yes, learn from the past, but don't miss right now. And let's do our best in that. So in his first letter, Peter explains what the reason for the letter was. It was to testify, and the explanation of it doesn't come until the fifth chapter, the very last chapter, chapter 5, verse 12. It is to testify that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. This is the true grace of God wherein you stand. Paul would write to the Romans about the grace that saves. That's the grace that gives us that eternal life, that perfect standing with God. But Peter would write of the grace that is day by day. That grace that is day by day. Do you need grace today? I do. So am I willing to give grace? I really love receiving grace. Sometimes I'm not so apt to give grace. But if I will give, I will receive. What we sow, we reap. If I'm willing to give that grace. But God gives us grace day by day, and that's what Peter is talking about in here. The grace that enables us to stand against all the wiles of the enemy and despite all of the trials that are on the way. After I talked to Cindy on Sunday, I just really, she's so on my heart now, as she talked about how hard it is. And I know what it can be in another country. It's hard. Cindy loves to hug people. Ireland, you don't do that. In the church that they're in, at least. No, you don't do that. This is my space, and that over there is your space. Hi. You know, there's not that closeness because of the lack of trust. And so here we are. My heart is just so given to her and so in prayer for them, because they are people who show the love of Jesus in that intimate type of way that people know that you can trust them because they love the Lord so much. And so just pray for them. They have the grace to live day by day there. In the midst of the trials, in the midst of the wiles of the enemy. Suffering has a large place in this book. And yes, with this suffering comes hope because of the way that Peter speaks to them. It takes for granted that the normal life of the believer will undergo affliction. Do you think of that when you came to Jesus? Did you think of that? The normal Christian life includes affliction. as we press on toward the high call of Christ Jesus. We rejoice for the privilege of suffering for him, for he has redeemed us with his own precious blood. I am privileged to suffer for Christ, and I have not suffered for Christ. There may be some little things. You know, we think in America, we think we're suffering for Christ if we can't put up the statue, if we can't keep the cross up, if we can't do this, if we can't do that. We think we're really suffering. Well, talk to Saeed in Iraq. Talk to the, and his name escapes me, and I didn't write it down, the one in North Korea that is there because of his belief in Christ. Talk to them about what it is to suffer. They will tell you that they count it a privilege to be suffering for Christ. Will you suffer for Christ? Richard Warmbrandt, Harlan Popov, their books. Richard Warmbrandt wrote Tortured for Christ, and Harlan Popov wrote Tortured for His Faith. And the things that these men went through in suffering, we have no idea. We have no idea what it is to suffer for Christ. And yet they stood under that grace that God gave to them. With Peter, remember last week we talked about how he said, oh, I will never leave you. I'll be right there with you even if it comes to death. At that particular time, he believed that he could, but when it came down to it, he couldn't. But what happened after that grace was poured out on him? He died for Christ. He suffered for Christ. That's what this letter came out of, his suffering. And so that's what it's about. So they knew it was a part of the normal believers' lives to suffer for Christ. And you're probably going to get sick of hearing that word suffer as we go through this introduction. But that's what this letter is about. It is suffering that has to do with Peter will bring them hope out of all of that. When I came to know Christ as my Savior the first time, when I, and then there was that other time. When I came to know Christ as my Savior, I had people that told me, oh, your cares are over. Everything is going to go good. You, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more pain. You know what? And I have not known the kind of suffering or the pain or the hurt that I've had since I've been a Christian. I never knew that before I was a Christian. But you know, they lied and they set me up. They set me up for a fall. Because when God didn't come through with what they said, it was a hard lesson to learn that suffering is a part of my walk. It's a part of it. I don't leave everything behind because, well, we'll get into that. And the mystery of suffering has confused many down through the ages. Sin, I must tell you, is a very real part of our inheritance simply by being born into this world. And sin will cause suffering. So it goes without saying that the child of God is not exempt from pain, not exempt from sorrow, not exempt from anguish. So, but the suffering of a believer, I love this, is all with a purpose. I love that. Do you not love that? When you're in the midst of something, those of you who have had children, you know that the pain that you're going through is for purpose. When you made delivery of that child, it was for purpose. There was a purpose in it. There was going to be an end that came to it. And that's exactly why we're able to look at this in the same way. This pain, the suffering that we go through, it is with purpose. And there will be an end that comes to it. It won't go on forever. I know I said it, and I know some of my daughters had said it when they gave birth. Am I going to be pregnant forever? No, you're not. It's all for a purpose, for new life. And that's what suffering brings into our lives as well. Through suffering, we're much clearer on what Jesus went through when he was in the world. Isaiah 53:3 says that he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And God uses this suffering as chastening and as disciplining to make us more like Jesus. Hebrews 12, 6 through 11. Sometimes God uses suffering to get our attention. Does anybody else that's happened to? That suffering that stops you in your tracks and you have to pay attention. And all along, God's been saying, I need you to do this. Joy, I need you to do this. Joy, would you do this? Joy, I want you to sit down. Joy. And then finally something happened and I sat down. I had to go through that suffering for him to get my attention. And so it was used for disciplining in my life. We suffer because of faithfulness. When we suffer because of faithfulness to his name and devotion to him, we have a very real sense of that fellowship with him. There's nothing that draws us closer than that suffering with him, suffering for him, that brings that fellowship with him so close. But there is a reward. Paul tells the Corinthians that our light affliction, which is for a moment. Now, what did Paul go through? We all know what Paul went through. We all know what Peter went through. We all know what John went through. We all know all of these things. And they called it a light affliction that lasted for a moment. This light affliction that lasts for a moment is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, 2 Corinthians 4:17. Christians, again, are not exempt from suffering. When we trust in Christ, it doesn't mean that all at once we are freed from the consequences of sin. We're not freed from the consequences of sin. As far as divine judgment is concerned, John 3:18 clearly states that we are not condemned. We are not condemned to that divine judgment. We will not be judged for things. But in this world, we suffer the consequences of sin. But we still live in these mortal bodies that carry the sin nature that we were born with. And we find that the world which we once belonged to no longer accepts us. That world that we once belonged to is not so beautiful anymore. When Pastor Bill talked on Sunday about going into Las Vegas and how it gives the illusion of light that draws you into darkness. I love that. It looks so good on the outside. But that's what sin does. It looks so good on the outside. It looked so good to Eve. It looked so good to the other ones that we've talked about throughout the Word of God. It looked good to them, but no, it wasn't, and it paid off that way. But anyway, there's a difference between all this involves suffering, but with every trial and affliction, there will come the needed grace to endure. Hebrews 11:27, as seeing him who is invisible, I will see Jesus. In the midst of your challenges, who will you see? Who will you seek? I will seek after Jesus. There's a difference between suffering with Christ, Romans 8:17, and suffering for Christ, Acts 5:41. All Christians suffer with him because of the very fact that we are partakers of his divine nature, and we quickly respond to the things that are against him. Don't you? Don't you quickly respond to the things that are against Christ when you're out and about, you read something in the newspaper, or you hear something on the news, or you talk to someone and they have this response? We quickly respond to that. But to suffer for Christ is to bear shame and reproach, even persecution, even death, for Christ's name's sake. for Christ's namesake, Acts 9:16. In Galatians 2, we read of the directions that were given to Paul that it would be Paul that would speak to the Gentiles, and it would be Peter who would speak to, especially to the Jews. They didn't confine themselves just to those groups, but as it worked, Christ had in those groups, but Peter, Christ worked mightily through Peter in the conversion of the Jews, and he worked mightily through Paul in the conversion of the Gentiles. So they had these groups that they were called to, but it wasn't just them that they ministered to. It was, Paul did not say, you're a Jew. Oh, I can't talk to you. I can't talk to you. I can't talk to you anything about Jesus. And Peter would the same on Gentiles. No, it was their life. But they were particularly called to those groups because God had prepared them in some way to be able to minister to them. You could say that Peter had a heart for those who were referred to as the dispersed of Israel. They were away from their homeland. He had a ministry to the homeless, so to speak. Peter had a ministry to the homeless, those Jews who were away from their homeland. This is to these Peter wrote, encouraging them. Here it is. Here's the hope. He encouraged them to trust in the Lord and to go on in patience, even in the midst of suffering. Go on in patience, even in the midst of suffering. This is a letter for afflicted believers. Even though it was addressed primarily to the Hebrew Christians, it was no more confined to them than Paul's letters were confined to the churches. We know that the letters that Paul wrote to the churches deal with us today. We know that this letter from Peter to the Jews deal with us today. So it was all written that we all might believe. In Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, so what is written to one is intended to help and be instruction for all of those who are born again, all of us who are born again. I called 1st and 2nd Peter wilderness letters, and that it is. It's a picture of believers journeying on from the place of the cross to glory, the place of the cross to glory. And in this, we'll see that there are many illustrations that are drawn from Israel's journey from Egypt to Canaan. In Ephesians, we have believers are looked at as already over the Jordan and in the promised land, enjoying their inheritance in the heavenlies. That's Ephesians. But in 1 Peter, the believer is seen as that pilgrim, that stranger passing through an unfriendly world, moving on to the land of promise. It is a letter of hope. It's a letter of hope. That's why it's called, why our study is called a living hope. We have a living hope that we can cling to. So I'm excited about going into this. Now, you have information in your book about the other things that are usually included in an introduction. I have that the two letters were most likely written pretty close to each other. The first, which means the second also, but the first one was undoubtedly close to the end of his life that he wrote it. I love that also. He was a seasoned believer by the time he wrote these letters. He wrote in wisdom. The 1 Peter was probably written in AD 66 or 67, and the other one was written shortly after that. And he refers to the first one in chapter 3, I believe, of 2 Peter. So he was a man of few words. He was very concise about what he had to say to the believers there. So we want to be as concise when we study, when we look into it, when we talk to each other about what God is saying to us through this book. Let's be concise. Let's let God deal with us with a scalpel, okay, as we go through this. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, for your ministry through your word, Lord, that what you say is clear to us. And Lord, we want to love you with all of our heart. We want to serve you no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what the suffering is, no matter what the things come in our way, Lord. We want to set our eyes on you. And so we trust you, Lord, to direct us. We will keep looking directly into your eye, following closely behind you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in your word. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for the groups that are going to be together, Lord, as they talk and pray for one another, as they minister to one another. Lord, as we work as a body to bring the gospel into a world that desperately needs you. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up. All you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up. All believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.